This is a letter that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians after he had been with them for only 3 weeks, and he was kind of forced away by the people who were objecting to him spreading the good news of Christ. And so he later writes this letter to them to reinforce and to encourage them. And this is just one part of it, chapter 4. And he tells them, this is how you live to please God. Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. And that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. Now, about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words.
The end. Have you ever thought about the end? Have you ever read in the book of Joel how the moon will be like blood? Have you ever read any of the prophecies of the end times? About a year ago to this day, there was a Mayan prophecy. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? The Mayan calendar said that the world was going to end on December 21st, 2012. Did it? No. No one will be able to tell you the time or place or when the world will end. It'll come like a thief in the night. Let's pray. God, as we talk about the end, I just ask, Lord, that, Lord, you will begin with us afresh and anew this morning. God, reveal yourself to us powerfully this morning, God. I ask that you will use the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts. May they be acceptable to you, God. Amen. So that Mayan prediction never came true. But there's been apocalyptic floods that people have called out that are going to come upon the earth. There's been all sorts of cults and occults that are saying the end is near and here it comes. And I don't know if you remember Heaven's Gate. I remember when Heaven's Gate came out and they all killed themselves. There was Jim Jones down in, you know, there's all sorts of things that happen when people are focused on one specific part of Scripture and just the main focus becomes that rather than Christ. And manipulation and pulling the Scriptures and moving them and twisting them and manipulating them to the place in which they know they can manipulate other people. That's not what God wants for us. But there's a number of different groups of people. And there's a small, reputable group. And they believe that cats will take over the world and they will grow thumbs. And that will allow them. I mean, this is what some people actually believe. That's not too reputable. Would you agree with that? But the world didn't end on December 21st. We don't know when the world will end. We don't know. We can see signs, and there's telltale signs right now. If you read the Scriptures, you'll see. And the people back in the times the Scriptures were written, did you know they thought the world was going to come to an end, that Christ was going to come back? They anticipated that. They believed it would happen Monday or Tuesday. What if we lived like that? That we took our faith so seriously that we lived like this could be our last few days on this earth. What are we going to do with it? It's called out in 1 Thessalonians, live a what? Holy life. It doesn't say live a life filled with sin and selfish ambition and whatever else it may be. It says live a holy life. Holy means set apart. We're to live set apart for God. I don't know about you, but when my end comes, whenever that may be, and it may mean that we'll experience the resurrection and we'll be able to see the resurrection of the dead, and then we'll rise and be with Christ, and there's this judgment that will take place, and we'll get into that in a little bit, but let's talk about what we're going to cover. We're going to cover some things that you may have wrestled with. And if you're not a Christian, if you don't know who God is, if you're trying to figure out who God is, you may go, these people are weird. Because when we talk about the end times, sometimes if you've never really heard about it or talked about it, it may seem really strange. But the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about the end. And there's all sorts of signs of the end, and there's things that happen toward the end that allow us to see more clearly that the end is near. And we're not to be afraid or fearful, but we are in a way, aren't we? We're to have a fear of the Lord, and we're to live holy lives. And I think what we've done as a culture, we've taken that word holy and we've manipulated it to be set apart how we think we should be set apart. Do you get the difference? Because God says, this is what holy is. It's to be set apart for my purposes. Yet we have defined holy as being set apart for whatever we define it as. There's a huge difference in that. Our definition often goes completely contrary to God's definition. The Bible is a collection of 66 books written by 40 authors. Over 20% of the Bible is devoted to prophecy. Five times as many second coming than the first. Did you know that? Five times. So the second coming is prophesied five times more than the first coming. Next week, we're going to get into a snapshot of Revelation. We're going to talk about Revelation. We're going to talk about the different things that happen in Revelation. But today, we're talking about Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5, these are some chapters. I took this class in my undergrad called Communicating the Gospel. And what I had to do in that class was communicate the gospel. But the way you had to do it, you had to break down the passages. And the professor taught that you break down the passages in certain ways, and you have indentation here, and then another here, and another here, and another here, and you bring it out here, and you don't know what I'm talking about. I wish I could show you. I should have made a copy because I found my old papers. But basically, you break it down in such a way that you gain a better understanding of what the words mean. And then you take different colored pencils and you square out and you circle and you underline and different words that stand out. And what it does is it brings the scriptures to life afresh and anew. And I remember the first time I really focused in on 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It really messed with me. Because it began to convict me of who I am and who God actually wants me to be. Because I realized, you know, I'm not holy. God wants me to be holy. I'm not really set apart. I'm doing what I want to do, and I'm trying to understand God more. But God, what do I do with this? There was a dilemma. And I think a lot of us are juggling that dilemma. And all of us, I would say, during our lives, we move towards sin rather than toward God. And it's easier to go towards sin because it's easier to sin than it is to live holy and righteous. But to live holy and righteous, we are called out to live holy and righteous lives. It's not just, hey, if you get a chance, try to live holy. Try to live righteous. No, do it now because we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what the next minute holds. Not to scare anybody, but we don't know how long we're going to live. Some of us that are getting a little older recognize that more and more with aches and pains and whatever else is going on. And you're going, man, when's the end coming? Right? But in Thessalonians, Jesus is returning. It talks about Jesus' return. And the reason why is because the church in Thessalonica, they were new believers, but what they thought those that have died before, that they would be without Christ and they wouldn't be able to see heaven. They were confused. There was a mass amount of confusion. They thought, our loved ones have already passed. They're not going to be here for the second coming. And then they're not going to experience what we're going to experience. And they were sad and upset and confused. And Paul writes, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant. You hear that? I think some of us may be ignorant. We do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. Now, falling asleep doesn't mean they're sitting in a worship gathering, and then some guy's speaking, and then someone falls asleep. Oh, right? It's not talking about that sleep. Falling asleep, those that have fallen asleep, it's talking about death. Those that have died. Those that have passed away. Those that are no longer living on this earth. And we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, and the voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Encourage each other with these words. Oh, yeah. That's good. So, the return of Christ. The hope we have as Christians. If you are a believer, if you're trying to figure out who God is, if you've embraced Christ, you have a hope. If you haven't, you may think you have a hope, but you don't really have a hope. We manipulate ourselves into thinking we have hope when hope doesn't really exist. And we pretend that hope is this when hope is actually this. Hope is not that, it's this. Because the only way we can truly discover hope and peace and joy and love and mercy and grace and comfort is the return. Christ is coming again. There is great hope in Christ's return. Great hope. There is tremendous hope in Christ's return. And if you don't have hope in Christ's return, then there's something going on that you don't really understand what it means to follow Christ, because Christ said he's coming back. He's coming back, and he's coming back for you and for me. If we're in Christ, those that have passed from this life will ascend and be with him, and then those that are in Christ that are alive will ascend. Now, look at what this passage says. Let's read this together. John 14:3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. So, there is this word that early believers used to use, and we don't use it anymore. And when they went and greeted each other, they would say, Maranatha. Maranatha was a greeting that they used, and it meant, our Lord comes, or our Lord is coming. So have you ever said that to somebody? You knew somebody that was following God, and you walked up to them and go, Maranatha, our Lord is coming, right? Have you ever done that? Have you just walked up to somebody, Maranatha? People go, what's wrong with you, man? I don't even know what you're talking about. But what if we actually thought about it every day? Like when you saw someone that's following the way, and you go, our Lord is coming. And then you're like, yeah, our Lord is coming. Our Lord is coming. It's true. Our Lord is coming. And that makes a huge difference. Because the stuff of this life, all the stuff that happens in our life, all the junk, all the debris, all the baggage, all the grief, all the pain, all the anxiety, all the hurt, all the emotional baggage that we carry. Guess what? Our Lord is coming. It doesn't mean we don't have to deal with that stuff in this life. It doesn't mean that we don't have to fight through things in this life. But what it means is we have a hope. Our Lord is coming. Maranatha. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. So this is something, if you're a follower of the way, this is something that we should believe. It doesn't say, maybe we can embrace this, maybe we shouldn't. I don't know. I don't know if I really want to believe that. No, it says, we believe that God will bring Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. If we die in Christ, then guess what? When the second coming comes, and when these people will be risen, and they will go and they will be with Christ. And does it mean that when we die, this is the confusion, okay? Does it mean when we die that we won't be with Christ? No one's answering. When we die from this life, it's clear in the scriptures that we will be with Christ. So we will be with Christ. But this is where it's confusing. There will be a bodily resurrection, just as there is Christ has risen, so our bodies will rise. Does that make any sense? And some people say, well, what about those that got caught in a fire? What about those that perished at sea? And what about the body deteriorates? I don't know what it's going to look like. Does anybody know what that's really going to look like? I don't know. But I do know that someday I'm going to have a heavenly body, and my body that is weak and frail and falls apart on occasion, that it's all messed up on occasion, guess what? I'm going to be dancing. And if you can't dance now, you're going to be able to dance. You're going to be able to raise your hands. You're going to be able to shout out to God. And you're going to be able to say, this is amazing. Look at me dance. I'm dancing. Woo! Right? Don't you want to be able to dance? Someone just said, he just danced in church. I can't believe he danced in church. You know what? We got to do some more dancing. Because we got to have more joy. We got to be anticipating the coming of Christ. And we've got to anticipate that hope. That's a beautiful hope. It's a beautiful, beautiful hope. I remember before Stacy and I got married, I told you in my undergrad, I went through and wrestled through some of the passages. Stacy and I got married when we were in our undergrad. And so I remember I was going through the text for 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5, and I just kept reflecting on it. And I'm thinking, man, God, just wait till after I'm married. You know? I mean, I wanted to wait until, because Stacy and I, we made this recommitment that we were going to wait till we got married. Interesting concept in our culture. Wouldn't you agree? You're like, what? Really? How could someone do that? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. If you don't think you can do all things through Christ that gives you strength, and you don't have this great hope and this great beauty that, you know what, I can do all things through Christ. And you know what? Christ is coming back. And I want to live holy and pure and lovely. And I want to be a light to a world that doesn't see light. Man, do I want that. I want that, God. God, pour out your Spirit upon me. Fill me to overflow. So Lord, when I talk to people, that your love is just flowing through my lips and my actions and my deeds. And God, allow me to be holy as you're holy. Lord, allow me to be set apart as you're set apart. Allow me to be somebody that loves with agape love rather than this bizarre love that I think is love, but it's really lust. And I'm all confused, God. God, let me discover your holy, unconditional love for other people, even those that I don't really want to love. Whoosh. Radical concept. We serve a radical God, which loves radically. Radical, man. But God is far beyond our thought process. And that's why it's so hard for us to comprehend some of these things. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. There is this trumpet sound, this voice of an archangel, meaning loud and thunderous. And here I come, baby! Woo! You better be ready. I don't play the trumpet, so I can't really do it. But that, you know, this huge trumpet sound. I wish someone played trumpet in here, and someone might, and I don't know it. I would have that sound go right now because it's loud. Have you ever really heard a trumpeter, a really good trumpeter? And those of you that were in the armed services, you've probably heard a trumpet a time or two. But just imagine this loud trumpet and this call out, a loud command, with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, a thunderous voice. What's that going to do? What's going to happen with you and with me? Christians who died, it's the same word that was used when Lazarus in John 11, when Lazarus was raised from the dead. Now, when Lazarus, you may not know the story of Lazarus, some of you do, but he was really good friends with Jesus. And it was Mary and Martha's brother You like that? I got my Bostonian accent back. Brother. Mary and Martha's brother. But Mary and Martha's brother. And Jesus waited a couple days. He heard that Lazarus was sick. But when he got to the tomb, you notice I said tomb, Lazarus had already died. Jesus wept. But what ended up happening is, he said, open the tomb. They're like, whoa, we can't do that. We can't do that. He's dead. He's going to stink. He's going to smell foul. He's like, just pull the stone away. Just let me see. Lazarus, come out. Imagine being all these mourners, because people were paid to mourn back then. So people are crying and weeping and wailing, and oh, they're laughing at Jesus. And then Jesus is like, Lazarus, come on out. He's like, what is going on? Whoa, right? If we're dead, then we're alive. Wouldn't that freak you out? You knew you were just dead, and now you're coming out of this tomb like, what is going on, man? I remember I got real sick, and something happened, and I was done. But now I'm alive. And that's what Jesus does. Out of death, he brings life. Out of ashes, he brings beauty. Out of pain, he brings what do you think he brings? Healing. He brings triumph. He brings hope. In the midst of despair, there's beautiful, amazing hope that transcends our human understanding. God speaks loud, but sometimes he's heard in a whisper, in a small wind, a slight wind, a little breeze. Sometimes it's in the thunderbolt. But God does speak with his soft, still voice. The problem is a lot of times we're not listening. There will be a judgment. For those that are in Christ, the judgment, the white throne of judgment, there will be this throne of judgment for those that are not in Christ, this white throne of judgment. And it will not be pretty. But to those that are in Christ, there will be a judgment, but it will be for the deeds. And it's not by works that we are saved, it's through faith. Remember that. It's not by works, but it's by faith. But our works, the Spirit should move in us, and then we should begin to do works that glorify God. And people should be able to see the fruit of our faithfulness. I think sometimes we'll just say we believe, but our actions don't line up with our words. Whoops. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them. Revelation 26. So there's a first resurrection, second resurrection. Resurrection. Now, who have part in the first resurrection? The believers have part in the first resurrection. The second resurrection, you don't want to be part of the second resurrection. Because it's not going to be fun. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. You get it? Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. You know that expression YOLO? I wrote a little article about YOLO. You only live once. It's basically when people do something really dumb, they go, YOLO! You only live once. That's what it means. So someone does something really stupid, and YOLO! And then something dumb again. Oh, YOLO! Well, what if YODU? YODU! You don't know what I'm saying? You only die once. Why don't we live our lives instead of YOLOing? Why don't we YODO, YODU, right? Not yo dodo. But why don't we live like that? know what? I only die once, so I am going to live this life for the beauty and glory of God. And my life is going to be different than others. And it's going to be different because born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. The second thing is the rapture. Living Christians are taken away. Now, this is where some theology comes into play. We have pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, post-tribulation. Pre-tribulation is when the belief is that people will ascend before the tribulation takes place. Mid-tribulation means in the middle of the tribulation, the 7 years of tribulation, that the believers will go, so after 3.5 years. Post-tribulation means the believers will go through 7 years of tribulation and then will be taken. So different theologians have different thoughts on it, and you may wonder what my thought is. You may not care what my thought is. I don't know, but I can tell you if you want to know, but we'll keep going. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, this may seem really strange, but there's this Greek word, harpazo. It's caught up, to seize, to catch, to take away, to safety. So there's this caught up. You'll be caught up, that harpozo. So being caught up, taken away to safety. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up. Now, there's another passage of scripture that says this. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken, the other left. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. What if it comes on a Sunday? I wonder how many of us would be still sitting in our seat. Would just one person go, boop, where'd they go? Where'd that person, that was freaky. Did you see what just happened? Because I didn't see it, it was too fast. Or would we all be gone? Just because we come to a worship gathering on Sunday morning does not mean that we are following after Christ. Don't think you're all that because you come on Sunday. We need to be humble. We need to be people that are open to what God has for us and searching and seeking after him every day, every minute. You may say, that's impossible. That's way too high a standard. Did you know God has a very high standard for us, but his grace does come in, and people use his grace as an excuse why they act the way they do? We often do that, don't we? Let's not use grace as a crutch in why we act the way we do. Let's allow grace to overflow in us so we can experience the beauty of life. It shouldn't be stress-filled, and, you know, life is stress-filled at times, but we should have this consistent peace. And if you don't have that, there's a reason. There's a reason. What are you pursuing? Is it God, or have you created your own God? Is it love, or have you distorted love into what you want it to be? Is it peace, or have you created a false sense of peace? Is it hope, or have you manipulated hope into something that is completely against what hope really is? Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him. so that he may not be naked and be shamefully exposed. I don't know how you, I don't know if you're a nudie and at night you sleep nudie. I don't know. But make sure you have your clothes near you, because you never know. He may be coming in the, like a thief in the night, and boom, there he is. And whoa, 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 look at me. I'm shamefully exposed. No. May we be ready and prepared in season and out of season, right? But it says to give a what? Be prepared in season and out of season to give an answer for the hope that is within you, right? So that's different from this, but what it is it's, are we? Are we actually prepared in season and out of season to give an answer for the hope that is within us? Or are we never prepared in season or out of season to give an answer for the hope that is in us? I think we have a false sense of security. I'm not saying that none of us are following after God, because I know that some of us are. And none of us is perfect. It's about the pursuit. Who are we pursuing? All right, the third and final, the reunion. Christians will be with God forever. Did you hear that? I don't think you heard that. Christians will be with God forever. Oh, man. Oh, man. No, really. Really. We, if we are in Christ, we will be with God forever. Yeah!
Amen.
Some of you are like, just leave me alone. I don't do this. I come to church and I don't want to say anything. Leave me alone. I'm not like that. I was raised in a real super like strict. If I spoke out in church, I got slapped across my mouth. All right, I get it. The traditions of the past hinder us from whatever it is now. That happens. I'm not saying we all have to speak out. But man, when we talk about this, Christians will be with God forever. Why would we sit there and just go, oh. That should be something we should be like, yeah, man. You know what? I'm going to be with God forever. Like, I'm going to be with God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. If we ever really thought about that, if we ever really thought about what it means to be with God, I don't know that we really know who God is, because we haven't allowed God to come in and move and transform us and cleanse us and revitalize us. But when we do, when we read or hear something like that, there should this be this overflowing sense of, yeah, that is incredible. I don't know that we've ever really thought about that. We'll be with God forever. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together. We'll be caught up together. Now, meet the Lord in the air. I don't know what that looks like, but it might be kind of fun. Woo, hey, God, I'm floating. Look at me, man. This is so cool, God. I don't know what that looks like. But, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 53, and then we're going to keep reading some different passages in here. Listen, I tell you a mystery. Let's read this together. We will not all sleep, but we will be. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised. Stop right there. Imperishable, and we will be what? We will be changed. You're not going to be the way you are now. You're going to be changed. I'm going to be changed. For The perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. Yes, God, I am not going to be the same. I'm going to be different. I'm going to be new. I'm going to be changed. The immortal for the mortal for the immortal. Wow. Wow. I know there's some of us in here that have gone through a lot of stuff, and our health isn't right. Our bodies aren't right. We're really suffering in this life. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. Did you know if you're in Christ, you are going to be immortal? As far as you're not going to be having pains and hurts and tragedy. And then 54b, then the saying that is written will come true. Ready? Say this together. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Victory. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Victory. Right? Victory. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know you have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let's read this together. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Whew. How great is that? Man. God gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. What's going to happen at the end with you and with me? God is going to save some of us. You are right, James. Did you know that God desires all of us to be saved? He's our Abba Father. Abba means daddy. And he desires us to discover him deeply and profoundly. And I pray that each of us has this renewed sense of Maranatha. Maranatha, 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 Maranatha. Christ is coming. That should put a smile on your face instead of a frown. Turn your frown upside down. Christ is coming. Let's close our time in prayer. Lord, there are some of us this very day, Lord, that are really have wrestled so much through whether we believe or not believe. And God, I just ask, Lord, that, Lord, you will have convicted our hearts even right now, Lord, that you've already convicted them. And we come to this place that we need to embrace you, God, as our Lord and our Savior and our God, that we need to seek after holiness and righteousness. That, Lord, may we have this burning desire to be holy as you're holy. God, we can claim victory because of Christ Jesus. Lord, as we come to you this morning, Lord, I just ask, oh God, that you will allow a cleansing to overflow this entire community of faith, Lord, that we will discover your cleansing power, and Lord, that we will discover healing of broken hearts and the wounds and the hurts of the past, Lord. Lord, there are some of us that have issue with anger because of what's happened in our past. Lord, some of us have such deep wounds that we don't know if we'll ever be able to recover. But God, It is through Christ Jesus that we have hope, that we have victory, that we have love, that we have life, that we have peace, that we have joy, that we have an abundance of mercy and truth and compassion. And Lord God, I ask, oh God, that as your Spirit pours out upon this place right now, God, that you will refresh our minds and our hearts. God, some of us need to call out to you as Lord and Savior, fresh and anew. Some of us have to renew our commitment to you because, Lord, we've wandered from you and we're not right with you. And if the end were to come today, God, we would be tragically removed from your kingdom and your presence, God. And Lord, I just ask, oh God, that none of us would be okay with that, God. That would not be okay. God, pour out your Spirit in power, Lord, and allow us to realize that we are sinners in need of your grace and your mercy and your hope and your joy and your truth. Lord God, pour out upon us right now. Yes, Lord. Amen.